What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, we'll get to our winter sports night of success last night here, but we're counting down the hours to Major League Baseball opening day, and all of us, our dear friend Lavelle Neal, columnist and noted baseball aficionado for the Star Tribune. So that I'm just reading the tweet here. I haven't dug deep on the column, but Gary Sanchez and Miguel Sano are gone. So are Dylan Bundy and Chris Archer. For Lavelle, his optimism in the Twins season has a lot to do with who's not on the roster. Here's my problem. Can we praise the Twins? Oh, man, they cleared out these dead weights off the roster. They also added those dead weights like a year ago in hopes of winning 90 or 95. I don't know if we can praise the front office now that the dead weight that they leaned on and brought in is gone.
And by the way, let's point out that one of their big moves was to replace Miguel Sano's strikeouts. Okay, don't worry, Lavelle, they have successfully replaced Miguel Sano's strikeouts with Joey Gallo's 150 if he plays a lot. If he gets 350 at bats, he'll strike out 150 times. So don't worry about it. You got Miguel's, the absence of Miguel taken care of. I couldn't disagree more, but with my dear colleague Lavelle, but you know, he got down there, he got around the optimism. He went to the cigar bar a few days and he got fired up. He got all excited. And
beached whale, you know, had some calamari and 90 wins.
Judd and I were talking yesterday that, you know, what you got to say, the lineup should be leading off and batting first, the new scoreboard, batting second, cheaper prices on beer at some places.
Batting third, the first new uniform color.
Yeah, they had a new logo is batting third. Batting fourth, we're going to play faster. Batting fifth, you got all these things that have occurred, none of which are on the field, but that's okay. Their lineup was going to be, if it was November 1st, you got Louis Arraez leading off. You got Carlos Correa hitting second. You have Buxton hitting third. You have hitting fourth. Who we got hitting fourth? We got
Who's healthy? Kirilloff?
No. Kirilloff hitting fourth. You got Polanco hitting third, Buxton hitting fourth, Kirilloff hitting fifth. Instead, you're going to have Buxton probably hitting third, but not playing center field. You're not going to have any of those other guys. So I think the lineup they are putting out on opening day is a really decline, really a much less of a lineup than they put out last season. I mean, Jose Miranda now has to be a stud, right? He can't be an add-on. He's going to be like your four hitter, isn't he?
Yeah. The other thing you have to consider too is if Buxton isn't going to play center field, that means Michael A. Taylor, who is not a good hitter. He's a great defensive outfielder, but he's not a good. He's a guy that you just tuck at the bottom of your order, right? That he'll be out there for probably 400 plate appearances this year.
Yeah, and I think did they know that this was going to be the case with Polanco? Did they know that? Is that I mean, what have they traded Arraez knowing they weren't going to have Polanco?
Accusing the Twins of being a little disorganized on the injury front behind the scenes potentially?
Yes, I think we should have probably paid. Okay, why did they sign Joey Gallo? Okay, because they don't think Kirilloff's going to be able to play, even though they're telling us they think he's going to be able to play. Right? That's got to be the only reason, isn't it?
It's a huge reason. Yeah.
And obviously they signed Michael A. Taylor. A. Why do I keep saying A? You don't need an A. But why do they sign him? Because they don't think Buxton's going to play center field. So
I think the gold glove gives him leeway to use his middle initial, right? You rise to prominence. Excuse me. You get a gold glove and you get to use your middle initial.
The guy we were confusing him with, though, last played in the big leagues in 2017. I pointed that out. So we're not confused. But he's really declined as a hitter, though. I mean, their pitching will be better. The bullpen will be pretty good, I think, compared to what it was. You still got Emilio out there. You still got Cole Sands, but Emilio is not going to be trying to finish games anyway. And the rotation, okay, it's better, but Maeda looked terrible in spring training. I know we don't base much of that on, but you got five right-handed starters that are good, but Sonny Gray's the best, and he's the third, or Joe Ryan's the best, and he's a number three. So I don't see any reason for great optimism here.
Okay.
So, not 90 for sure, but Lavelle guaranteed us they'd win 90 today. So that either makes me think that he really saw something down there, or they were putting something else in those cigars. It might have been a little wacky tobacco in those cigars.
A couple good drinks, and he's a 90 wins, no question about it.
The bourbon-soaked cigars, yeah, it's a new thing down there.
You know, the one thing about spring training, though, is it tells us nothing now. Remember, I mean, it used to be who's going to make the club and blah, blah, blah. It no longer tells us anything. They know who their team's going to be when they get there in February, unless people get hurt. They know who they want, and they don't care really what happens in spring training anymore.
Yeah.
The Polanco thing is weird though, Pat. You're right about that, because it's not like he recently got hurt. I mean, he was plagued by this problem for a huge portion of last year.
He played all year though until September, right? He kind of shut her down.
He spent a couple stints on the IL. No, he spent a couple stints
he was the warrior though. He was the guy who played all the time, and now they're not letting him play. So.
Well, he won't now. Rocco's not going to let him now.
No. So anyway, it really has sneaked up on us though, I think, the start of the baseball season, hasn't it, with that World Baseball Classic and all that other nonsense. And it just, everything else that's going on, it's kind of, wow, they're going to start tomorrow in Kansas City, or 2 days from now in Kansas City. It's pretty amazing.
What this needs, Patrick, is this segment right now needs to be Bally's-fied. We need some positivity.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about how hope springs eternal. Every time when the birds start to chirp, that means Twins baseball is on the air.
Yes, yes, it does. Unless they don't make their payment, which is a very good possibility. At this point, they're not paying anybody to do the games, but they're still out there acting like they're partners, even though they're not paying anybody. How can baseball teams' values keep going up when nobody knows what's going to happen with the regional sports network? What if they stop paying?
I think there's an assumption that, like the Yankees, for instance, that their brand is strong enough. Well, and they're not part of the Bally's fiasco. They own their own network.
No. But the rest of the regionals are all in trouble too, apparently. They're all tied to cable, which is dead. So it is interesting to me that I mean, when Bally's not making their payment, the Twins are worth less than they were, right? I mean, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a huge chunk of, I don't know what the latest financials were on their deal. And the Twins always had kind of a bottom feeding deal with Fox Sports North back in the day. But local TV revenue is a huge chunk of their annual, right?
Yeah. You know what else they got going against them? This hockey team is going to be around for about 2 months when the season ends. I mean, I think it's real.
Here it comes.
I think it's real. When you look at the West, when you look at the Western Conference compared to what it's generally been, if they were in the East, you'd say, well, they might get the second round. But in the West, they get to hang around. They're beating everybody bloody. It's unbelievable.
No one can compete anymore. Huh? Teams are going to start passing on games.
Yeah,
the Kraken was supposed to be here, but they said no thanks.
They're going to stop putting. They're going to have load management when they come in here because they know they're not going to win anyway. Why bother to play a guy? You know, they don't do that in hockey, though.
Yeah, they're averaging like 4 goals a game since Kaprizov went.
Well, Boldy,
it's unbelievable.
He had 3 more last night.
Yeah,
Boldy's unbelievable.
He's got 12 goals in March.
Picking up Johansson has got to be the greatest move in history. Who's calling?
It's Bill Guerin. Or LaPanta is like, you want to come over and eat some steaks at my place?
We've heard enough positivity. You're that could back be in the mix.
That could be the wife's phone, too. It's somebody, I'm sure it's somebody promising me that that I could get a better deal on Medica if I did or something. Stop!
Yeah.
I don't think it's an Alexa.
What the hell is going on? Okay, I thought I had that turned off.
I get the latest thing. I get all these probably 3 times a week. I get a text message that says your Amazon account has been suspended. Click here to deal with it.
Yeah,
no, I'm not going to fall for that.
No,
I just bought 14 things on Amazon yesterday. They all showed up, so I think. Hey,
wait till you get to be 100 like I am, and they start telling you that if you don't send them $2,000, they're cutting off your Social Security benefits. Why? I paid all my life. I don't think you should do that. You really want me to be that? Are you really so hopeful that my mind is completely gone that I'd get sucked in on something like this? You morons.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, all they have to do is find one or two gullible people a day, and they got a business.
Yeah, that's
a good business model.
That's all I got to do. As good as the Wild made it uninteresting immediately, but how about those Wolfies? What, back-to-back, Cat doesn't play, and they decide to play defense and hold the Kings to a very low point total by the Kings standards, right?
Yeah, the Kings are averaging, I think, 122 points a game. They held them to 115.
Yeah,
and then they were the first team 2 nights ago to hold the Warriors at home under 100 points.
Yeah, what's going on? We were talking before we went on. Kyle Anderson is the man. It's unbelievable what he means to that team. He had the back trouble there and missed, what, maybe 10 games here and two, three different times. But when he plays, they just – between him and Connolly, they got this glue now that's unprecedented in the last 10 years, right? It's incredible. And it also helps to have your best player be one of the fellas, you know. Anthony Edwards does not have this need to, you know, seal the deal. Once in a while, he gets that look in his eye, and you know he's going to throw up a 3 that he doesn't really have to. But it is amazing how well he fits in. And it doesn't make any difference if Cat plays or not. It's nice to have him as an addition, but he's an addition now. He's not the star. He's not close to the star. Nas, you're just as good when Naz Reid is on the court as when Cat's on the court.
The wins against the Hawks and the Warriors – If Naz Reid's not pulling up for 3 in transition, you know, after Kyle Anderson gets a steal.
No, but the rest of the game, he's 2 for 13.
Yeah.
So maybe you wouldn't have been in that situation if Naz Reid had been playing more of those minutes that Cat you were wasting on Cat.
I think you've nailed it, though, and we'll see how it plays out here. But if Cat comes back and he has to this point in the 2 games he's played, as a complementary piece to everything that's like the foundation that's being built here. Mm-hmm. And then the complementary piece that you're adding is also a 40% 3-point shooter that can drive the lane and hit free throws. And, he just seems, I was telling these guys this, the other day, in the 2 games since he's been back, the complaining has gone away. He seems like a more joyful, less bogged and weighted down version of himself to me.
Mm-hmm. And he's, that first of all, you're not counting on him to fit with Gobert like you were. How are these 2 guys going to play together? Well, you don't have to have them out there together more than 15 minutes, right?
And Cat hasn't even been in the game at the end of the last 2 games.
Yeah, and then Gobert's doing what he does, and Cat's out here on the wing and, you know, can go in and play a little bit inside defensively. But they got a, you know, we talked about it Monday, the other day. They got a lot of deep depth. They got a lot of players. And they're not strong at point guard defensively, but they let Anderson and Edwards handle the ball so much now that isn't really that important anymore.
And on defense, they just put Jaden McDaniels on Trae Young and Steph Curry at the end of games. Yes. So.
Yeah, I'd like to see him clinch games with free throws more often instead of go one for two. But outside of that, McDaniels is – you can see why they had to keep him, man. He is a big kid. He's about 6'9" when he's guarding these guys. You don't appreciate that until you see somebody like Steph, a guy who's as quick as Steph, and he's 5 inches taller, is a pretty good weapon.
I don't think he's changed his facial expression since they drafted him.
No, it is amazing. I wonder if he's that boring. You think he is? I mean, I've seen him interviewed. I've stood there in the group around him a couple of times. He never says anything.
You know, he's got some Kawhi Leonard DNA in him. Just a quiet, you know, very similar kind of mid-range game at the beginning of your career, lockdown defender, just very similar.
Say, last night I talked to Jim Dutcher at length that I did. I did a piece for him on Bryant, right?
Yeah.
And Jim is a you know, very successful in the investment business after he was done coaching the Gophers. Went to an outfit named Miller, one of his buddies, and he's got dough. But he's that old conservative guy that you looked at that, you know, I think he'd rather keep it than spend it, right? So one of those old guys. So Brian, I talked to him, and he's taken the whole family to Houston. Jim has taken the family to Houston. He made him that promise before the regional, thinking they'd lose to Alabama, I suppose, so he wouldn't have to do it. So I texted Brian and said, I talked to your dad. He's taking the whole crew. I said, I could feel the happy pain in his voice with the, you know, happy they're going, the pain of having to pick up the tab.
Yep.
I got a smiling, crying, happy face out of Brian. That was his only response was the laughter with the tears coming down.
Hilarious. Yep.
Jim's going to be 90 April 17th.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables Radio Hour. With round, soft, pillowy bread filled with delicious PB&J, here's your host, Uncrustables.
Caller on line 3. What's eating you?
No one.
Crust, is that you?
Ugh.
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, crust.
Should we sit here and lament the one that got away with Brian Dutcher at all at any point in the last 10 years?
He would have taken the job in 2011 if they would have waited and, waited for him. Made him a good offer, but I mean, the guy's been in San Diego for 25 years. He's won a lot of games. They lived, family raised out there. They loved it out there. He did have a, and I wrote this, he had a, in his contract there, he had a $5 million buyout, but it was only $1 million for the Gophers. So that was, you know, the Lou Holtz type of, we always said, Lou would only go to Notre Dame. Well, in this case, Jim at least said that buyout was only $1 million.
And it's
funny.
They would
have went after him. They could have hired him 2 years ago. But, you know, he's winning with a team. You don't have an NBA player on that team. You might not even have a pro, you know. It's kind of a hardcore, old school play defense. One stat Jim gave me that I had thought about was the four teams they played in the playoffs in so far in the tournament all scored their fewest points of the year. When they played San Diego. So I don't know. It's a better situation for him to have stayed in San Diego than to be here. That's for sure. You come in here and try to redo this thing. The idea that the Gophers would be on a run like this if they'd hire Brian Dutcher is not worth even talking about. So
fair enough.
That's my theory. But doesn't prevent the public from lamenting it, you know. So
yeah.
Yeah, like Eric Musselman. He's the guy you'd really want. Well, they're paying him over $4 million at Arkansas. These guys are paying two.
Well, let's keep paying Ben two and maybe get $1 million in NIL from someone. Well, let's start there.
They were paying Patino only two, and he'd been here 8 years or something like that, and he'd gotten new contracts and stuff, and I think it was 1.9 or 1.89, 1.9, something like that. So these guys weren't paying four, but you're right. They got to get some NIL money.
Yeah,
I did have this in the column. They called up. They were calling for NIL money, and they got a hold of Jim, and Jim said, if I'm going to give anybody NIL money, it's going to be San Diego State. So anyway.
Wow.
But I don't know. How does it work? I thought it had to be an entity that could have some value in these guys. But now apparently they can just call you and me up and ask us for NIL money.
I think it's changed quickly, Pat.
Yeah. Well, what are they doing? How does that fit within the NCAA rules? I guess it doesn't.
It doesn't. No one cares anymore. Circumvention, Pat. That's the key word. Circumvention. That's what Mark Coyle needs to learn.
A guy named Mike, who's connected closely to the Gophers, I won't name him. I won't say who he is, but he's their play-by-play guy. I won't say that. Told me that the rumor was that the word on Dennis Evans is that once it got out that he was probably going to Louisville, the bidding got to $800,000. I don't believe that, but that's what.
That's from the Gopher side? Is that what you said?
No. The bidding, other schools got
involved. Okay.
Other schools got involved that wanted him, and it got up to
million.
What do you do then? How do you explain this?
The Gophers got in the bidding too. They offered a few gift cards to Stubborn Herbs, actually.
How many of those $199 interviews with the public would you have to do to get $800,000? That's a lot of. You don't have time to practice, do you? You gotta be doing those 15-minute, $199 interviews with the public, Zoom calls.
This is where we miss Sid the most now. Sid would have cleared this crap up quick.
Wouldn't he be shaming us? He would be shaming us unbelievable for getting out of bed. This is even a bigger advantage than the sports management class at Michigan was all those years.
Remember when?
The sports management class, Michigan, the only reason they beat us in football 30 straight years was the sports management class. That was the greatest sports management class.
Amazing.
It's amazing winter sports here, though. Holy cow, the two pro teams are just...
Let's just say the winter sports are about to turn into summer sports, boys. Let's get it going here. Let's get it going.
It makes the Twins job even harder, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All we need is get us to training camp or free agency for the winter sports teams, Twins. Give us three solid months. Get us to July 4th, and we can figure out the rest from there.
Like they did last year? I think this year they're going to time their collabs early rather than late, but that's okay, which is not good. I think they're in trouble, but that's just me. As I always point out, in 2016, I wrote a very upbeat column at the end of spring training saying, this looks like a pretty dang good club. What don't you like about this team? And they won 59 games. So it's not, what you see, what you think you see and what you really see are often two different things.
Yep.
Of course, everybody got hurt that year, and their pitching was horrible. You know who's the opening day pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, Cole Gibby. Gibby.
Kyle Gibson. Second consecutive year. He started for, Philadelphia last year?
He started for Philly last year?
Got the snot knocked out of him. I don't think he got an out.
That's right. And then he pitched pretty good.
Then he bounced back.
Classic. But he was Gibby still hanging around, man. Unbelievable.
All right, Pat, we got to run. We will catch up with you. I guess we'll catch up with you on opening day, right?
Yeah. Thursday, opening day. Holy cow, I should be in Kansas City eating barbecue, but right. I'm not going to be.
You're in Dick Grammer.
All right, Pat, we'll see you. There he is. Pat is the newest member of the Valley Sports North Optimism Team.
Royce Young, Golden Valley for Patrick Royce's chai. This team sucks. Okay, Pat, thank you.
Royce Unchained. Find everything he does on the Royce Unchained podcast feed. See you guys.